Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 32, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. Before we begin, as always, you are invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching, and then we pray fervently for America, and then anyone who would like for me to pray for them, I do that. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast, taping, internet, and SoundCloud again. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The marvelous Merson Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And you're also invited to come here on Sunday, December 19th at 5 p.m. for our beautiful Christmas program. I wrote you a play, we got costumes, and the title is A Gift of Love to Our Father. Look what he gave us, A Gift of Love to Our Father. And now, Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. Now that's love. Now that's love. As the curtain comes up, our precious Lord Jesus has been standing on his feet all night long, being tried for a crime he did not commit. No water, no food, everybody mocking him. And of course, then the Roman government, Pilate, tried so hard to save him. Pilate knew he was innocent. But the mob took over, like they did in America last summer, and they said, crucify him, crucify him. So then he was beaten with 39 stripes. You know what they did? They put little prongs and metal things in there, and they had 13 on each one, and for three times they drug 13 down, and that's 39, and it pulled off his skin and pulled at his insides. He was a bleeding mess. And so now, Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. Now that's love.
Verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to bear his cross.
Jesus was beaten to a pulp. Isaiah 53 says you couldn't even tell it was a man, and he fell on the weight of the cross. Don't you know Simon's got a great blessing in heaven? Mm-hmm.
33. When they came to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull.
Golgotha is also called Calvary, and it's also called Mount Moriah. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ our Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. 2,000 years before that, another man walked up that same hill, Golgotha, Calvary, Mount Moriah. God had told Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, and go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him on the altar for me. Abraham obeyed immediately. And he took the lad and some servants and donkeys, and he told the servants, wait here, the lad and I shall return. How could he say that? Because he knew that God's not a man that he should lie. God had told Abraham that his son Isaac would have a son, and then more sons would come through that lineage, and the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come through him. So Abraham figured, well, if I'm going to kill him, God's going to raise him from the dead. And as they walked up, Isaac was saying, "Hey, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire. Dad, where's the lamb?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And up Calvary's mountain they went, Mount Moriah, Golgotha, place of a skull. And he tied his only begotten son to the altar. And he drew back the knife. And God said, "Stop, Abraham. Now I know thou lovest me more than thine only begotten son." You know, God has feelings. We're always going to him about our feelings. When do you ever think about what's on his heart? When do you ever think how he's hurting, how he's feeling? He needed somebody to understand how it would be 2,000 years later when he gave his only son. But this time, nobody would stop it. All of a sudden, Abraham heard, in the thicket, and there was a ram. But now as Jesus goes up, nobody's going to stop it. He came to die. Now that's love.
Amen. 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he tasted thereof, he would not drink it.
That was prophesied in Psalm 69 many years before that. The reason he didn't drink it is because Jesus bore our pains and carried our sicknesses. He did not sedate the pain. He took your full measure pain on himself, cold turkey. Now that's love.
Amen.
That was poor man's wine, what that was. It would have eased the pain a little bit.
Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots.
That was prophesied 1,000 years before in Psalm 22. Whatever God says comes to pass.
Verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there.
What kind of people want to watch someone suffering?
Verse 37. And they set up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews."
You will notice I did not say the word Jew. It's a mistranslation. The Greek is Jews. It should have been translated Judah, J-U-D-A-H, or a resident of Judea. We love our brother Judah, but he's only one of the 12 tribes. There are 12 tribes of Israel, and so they've only got Judah up there. So that's not quite right. Now, the Gospel of John tells us that the mean old high priest Caiaphas was having him crucified, that Caiaphas had said, "Take that down, don't leave that up there, because put up there, he said he was king of the Jews." They said, "What we've written, we've written. He is king of Israel."
Verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left.
Two malefactors, two of them dying, and they deserve to die. You and I deserve to die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But in the midst of them was a pure lamb, a pure one, the Son of God, dying for them. Now that's love.
Verse 39, and they that passed by reviled him, hugging their heads. Verse 40, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days."
He did not say that. They're accusing him of one destroys Solomon's temple and say he can build it up in 3 days. What he had said, "You're going to destroy my body temple, but I'm going to rise again in 3 days." They're lying.
"Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross."
He could have saved himself, but you know what he was doing? He was saving you. He was saving me. He came to save us from our sins.
Verse 41. Also the chief priest mocking him.
Caiaphas.
With the scribes and elders.
Christians, all right. Those church folks will kill you.
Verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save.
He could, but he loved us enough to save us from our sins. Now that's love.
If he be the king of Israel.
They got it right. Just once in a while, crooks get it right. Like our Joe Biden, Lord. Once in a while, he tells the truth and says, Obama and I created the greatest election fraud ever known to man.
Amen. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him.
What they're saying is seeing is believing. But you know, seeing to believe is not faith. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Faith is not believing after you see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We call forth those things which are not as though they were. If something's missing, we pray it and we see it there. If something's broken, we see it not broken. In other words, they don't have faith, but you live by faith. You don't have to see it to believe it. You pray it. If it's in God's word, you believe. You call it forth by faith in the name of Jesus.
Verse 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him.
God the Father will have him. He loves him.
For he said, I am the Son of God.
He is. Hear, O Israel, our God is one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Holy Spirit, moving in this place right now and all over the world, is just as much God as the Son, the Father. The Son is just as much God as the Holy Spirit, the Father. This is God, is the God family. Three in one, one God. He is the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Come to die for our miserable, rotten sins. Now that's love.
Verse 44. The thieves which are crucified with him cast the same in his teeth.
At first, the two thieves, one on the left and one on the right, were also mocking him. But all of a sudden, one of them began to notice Jesus' demeanor. He wasn't acting like anyone else on a cross. I've learned in my life that it's not so much what happens to you that matters, it's how you respond to it. See, 11 years ago when I woke up blind, I've never seen myself blind, although I have no notes and I don't even know what I look like. I clean up this place, I play the piano, and I'm reciting all of this. I don't consider myself blind. See, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond. Jesus was not crying out, help me, help me, help me. So one of these thieves said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. 2 Corinthians 5:7, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen. Verse 45, and upon the sixth hour.
Now that would be 12 noon. They had nailed Jesus to the cross at 9 a.m. And he had to stay on the cross 6 hours. All right, 3 hours are there. It's 12 noon. But he had to stay 6 hours until 3 p.m. Why? Because in biblical numerics, 6 is a number of depraved mankind. We're all insane, depraved with sin. And if he had died 5 hours and 30 minutes, my sins might not have been forgiven, or your sins. So it's now 12 noon, the sixth hour. But it was on the third hour, 9 a.m. What happened?
There was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour.
Until 3 p.m. Jesus is the light of the world. The light went out. Who turned off the switch? I turned off the switch. You turned off the switch. We were all doomed to die because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. But he died in our stead. That's love.
Verse 46, and about the ninth hour.
3 p.m. Now you want to know that at 3 p.m., that mean old Caiaphas, the high priest, was having him killed, would go into the Holy of Holies there once a year to pray for the sins of the people. He needed to pray for his own sins. But there was a great big veil in there. It was so high, you would have had to have a bulldozer or something to get up there, scaffold, and it was very thick. And behind that veil was Almighty God. Now Caiaphas just went in there.
Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Now, why is Jesus saying that? Because Jesus is quoting from the cross the entire 22nd Psalm, from the first verse to the last verse. And the 22nd Psalm is entitled in Hebrew, Asher le Shehar, the dawning of a new day. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. Yes. Now, it sounds like he's saying, you forsook me. He's speaking in Aramaic, but in Psalm 22, verse 24, it says that God the Father did not forsake him, for it reads, Psalm 22, verse 24, He, Hebrew El, God the Father, did not despise the affliction of the afflicted one, neither did he turn his back on him, but when he cried, he heard him. So God the Father did not forsake him. It just looks that way. So what happened here? Psalm 22, that one thing, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, is in Aramaic. The bulls of Bashan, the Kenites, those who say they're Judah but are not, the synagogue of Satan, the devil's children, not our brother Judah, the one saying, crucify him, crucify him, they speak Aramaic. Now, remember I told you Jesus had to stay alive 6 hours? For the joy set before me went to the cross. He was achieving his mission. When you're in God's will, even though it's hard, there's a peace about you. If he looked too peaceful, they might have killed him before the 6 hours were up, and your sins and my sins might not have been forgiven. There's a military strategy. When the enemy's around you, play dead so they won't kill you. So he gave them what they wanted. He made them think he was miserable, but actually he was going to stay alive on that cross 6 hours for you and for me. He quoted, taught from the cross in Psalm 22. Other gospels pull it all together. He was orchestrating his own crucifixion line by line. As it's spoken, it came to pass. And the very last verse of Psalm 22, as he gives up the spirit, he says, it is done. That is the equivalent in Hebrew of the Greek in the New Testament. It is finished.
Amen.
Now that's love.
Verse 47. Some of them which stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias.
Elijah the prophet. Now remember in Kings, the prophet Elijah never did die. He was taken up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire. But these people knew a little bit of the scripture. They knew that Malachi 4 said, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, before he comes, they didn't know he was coming 2 times, God is going to send the prophet Elijah, and he's going to tell you they're 2 fathers. Now, actually, Elijah had already come in the spirit of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, your generation of vipers, your children of the snake, the serpent, they're not a real snake but the devil. And so he did that. You are going to be very aware, I believe they're already here, of 2 witnesses speaking in the anointing of Elijah. They always tell you they're 2 fathers. They tell you that the Satan, that old serpent, not a snake, just low down like a snake, beguiled Eve in the garden. And her son was Cain. His descendants are the Kenites. And they're the devil's children. They're saying, crucify him, crucify him. But of course, the Elijah anointing also tells you that the God the Father has children.
48. As straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed to give him to drink.
Psalm 69, he would not drink it. Now, why were they being nice to him? Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Wow. It's not usually dark at noon, high noon, okay? 3 hours there. And he's crying out seemingly for Elijah. They knew that, wait, maybe this is the Son of God. Maybe Elijah's going to come and rescue him. Maybe we better be a little kind to him. Here, We heard you say, I thirst. Give him something to drink. He didn't take it. He bore your pains and mine, cold turkey.
Amen.
Verse 49. The rest said, let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him.
Maybe he is coming. They're getting afraid. I don't blame them.
Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Notice he said, Father. He never called Father God. Remember the Eli, Eli, love us, my God, why so forsaken me? And he said, they don't know what they're doing. Notice it said with a loud voice. How could he do that? The blood was drained out. He's dehydrated. He's been up all night, beaten to a pulp. Because Jesus is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. By the word of his power were all things created that were ever created. So he didn't lose his power.
Mm-hmm. Yielded up the Spirit.
And he said, Psalm 22, it is done. And in the manuscripts, Greek, it is finished. Ghost is not a correct word. God is a spirit. He's not Casper the ghost, so it should be translated spirit. The body died. Peter tells us that Jesus' spirit then went to paradise, and he preached salvation. I've just paid your sin debt. Would you like to be saved? To all of the people who had lived and died, back to Noah, to all of those. And Peter says he set captivity free. Set captivity free. Now, don't forget, in the temple in there, meet old Caiaphas, is in there. There's the veil. What's going to happen to the veil?
Verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom.
No man could do that. It was so high, way up there, you couldn't reach it, so thick. So there is Caiaphas. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? God's Amen. Behind that. Amen. But you know what happened? God the Father parted the veil of sin that separated mankind from him. And he said, my son just redeemed you from death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
You may come back now. Come back and sit in Papa's lap, Abba's lap, Father's lap. And you may say, I love you, Abba, Father. And Father will say, I love you.
And the earth did quake.
What a shaking. All of heaven is watching. All of earth is watching. God just died.
And the rocks rent.
The Bible says, even the rocks and the creatures know that Jesus is God, and they were rent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No greater loveth this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Sherry's love line of the week, from my heart to your heart, a little poem I just wrote a few hours ago. If ever you feel that no one cares, if you think that God doesn't hear your prayers, that blood-stained cross, God from above, he died for you. Dear friend, that's love.
Amen. Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
At this moment, I always introduce to you the owner of the produce, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. He's here, and he's well and alive. But remember, I told you he had 6 hours of intense dental surgery, And he prayed so hard Wednesday night, it hurts his mouth. So I felt he should rest one more time. We love you, Scott.
Thank you, we know
that he bore your pain, so no more pain.
Amen.
And we'll be back next week with great Scott stuff. At this time, anyone who's not saved, before I pray for healing, let's get you saved. All over the world, the hour is upon us. We're in the last hour here. Let's get saved. Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. 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 Now for all of you, excuse me, in cyberspace, the Bible says in Romans, confession is made unto salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, you're going to hear Scott give him my telephone number. And you feel free to call me, invite you to call me. You'll get my voicemail. Say your name. You don't have to say your last name. I'm not nosy. At least say your first name so I can be praying for you. Leave your confession on there. And, of course, I will be praying for you. Nothing's given you to keep. So, for goodness sake, go and tell what you just heard. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. from God our Heavenly Father. A blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy.
together, sharing the joy, Emmanuel. He has come to dwell.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Was lost, I walked away. The road was dark, I could not see. My hope was gone, the pain was real. But your mercy, you saw my steps. You felt my fears. You heard my cries. You caught my tears. Arms open wide, you ran to me with your mercy. Your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy. You give me life beyond the grave. My deepest shame is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy. Your mercy. Your mercy. I stand my King and bow my heart to sing. You saved me, you raised me, you died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy, your mercy. Loving kindness leads me to repentance. Your loving kindness leads me to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Lord, let your kindness lead us to repentance. Your mercy. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? So bring him incense, gold, come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring. What child is this who
to rest on Mary's lap, on Mary's lap. He is sleeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him blood, the babe, the Son of Mary.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Don't tell me you love Jesus and you're as worried as your non-Christian neighbor about how you gonna make it.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why we still experience anxiety when God promises us peace.
The reason why we stay worried as a lifestyle is that first thing's on first. Priorities are out of order.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says the fact that we're worried can be a bigger problem than whatever we're worried about. Let's join him as he explains.
Today, I want to talk to you about another kind of freedom, one that we all need. I need it, you need it, and that's freedom from anxiety. Freedom from anxiety, or to use the more popular term, freedom from worry. Some of us worry to death, other people worry others to death. But we are all face this snake around our minds and our emotions that immobilize us, called worry. And there's plenty to worry about. Some people are worried about the financial situation. That could be their job, their bills,